Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello, and welcome back to 20 whatever.
Episode 20.
You guys.
I can't believe.
What a journey. 20 episodes. That's like a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
How many months is that?
Well, that's the thing. Are we kind of, since we rebranded to 20 whatever, since
right.
we did our first podcast.
Yeah. The rebrand, because it's 20 episodes since the rebrand.
Yeah, and the rebrand was July.
Wow.
20 episodes of 20 whatever, baby.
Wow. Is this our lucky episode?
Yeah.
Aww.
I love that. That's so cute.
Before we start, like officially start each episode, Jess comes in with the clapper to like sync the audio and all the different cameras. And she literally said, you know, 20 whatever, episode 20. And did the little clapper. And Ryan and I looked at each other. We were like, what?
Not 20 episodes. I can't believe. I'm like, you know how we have on each thumbnail, it's like episode 16, episode whatever. And I'm like, I remember thinking that I was going to be able to do like the 20 on there. And I'm like, it's coming. And now it's here.
Gosh. Well, it feels great. And I love it.
And it doesn't feel like 20, like we've done 20 episodes.
No.
Like it feels like we've done like four.
Yeah. And I know we don't need to get sappy. We don't need to break out the tissues. You guys already know. But this is like just such a source of joy for me in my life is doing this podcast.
Me too.
Amen.
Fully agree. Just kidding. No tears today. Well, we don't know. We always say no tears and then there ends up being somebody's.
You know, we should have, you know how they have like blank days since accidents. We should have like blank days since somebody cried. Because it's, I feel like it's been
we have made it through a couple.
Yeah.
Well, all the Halloween episodes. I don't think anybody was crying during those.
So it's been since September?
I think.
Wow.
We're Not Really Strangers was the last time we cried on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, that was enough crying for like 3 months.
Exactly. So we're good. We're good.
I felt myself during that episode being like.
No, right. Like listening back, it's like a.
Yeah, it's
a lot of sniffles.
It's not just like a tear. No. It's like a heave.
Yeah. We were crying.
Yeah.
Like that was like really
that game really got to me. Like I loved it so much that it makes me want to buy the romance pack.
Yeah. Like families. There's like romantic relationships. There's like a bunch of different things.
Oh my gosh. Maybe I get that for the holidays with my family. Am I going to try
the romantic edition?
No, could you? But also I'm kind of wondering like what kind of questions are we going to get?
They're really good. I mean, I don't know about the family one. Like that.
Are we stirring tea?
That could be a little dicey depending on how you are with your family and stuff. I mean, during the holidays is also a time where I feel like family is a little bit, the air is a little heightened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could get a little tense. Are you the person that's like, things are getting heated. Like, let me throw my 2 cents in.
See, and that's where I feel like I am just now, like over the past couple of years, learning to say something before I get to the point where I'm like causing a scene, storming out, like saying something I regret that's like a personal attack instead of just like debating the thing at hand.
Right.
I'm learning to see that like boundary approaching and be like, hey, look, I want to have a good Thanksgiving with you guys. If you continue to bring this up or if you say something like that, I am going to remove myself from the situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then it puts the ball in their court without being like, and you this and that and this and that. And I'm the storming off. Like you are like, hey, I am not, if we're going to have this conversation, like I'm going to head out.
Yep. And then they can't be like, wow, that was such an unexpected response.
Yeah. Right. Because if you continue, I have given you my boundaries. I set my boundaries and you're continue to engage in this and that's just not gonna anything good's gonna come from it.
Yeah.
And I also agree, Sierra. I have personally try to learn to not like react as much and just quickly be like, well, you know, and I just get so caught up in my emotions that I'm like, but you, because I feel so passionately about it.
Right.
But then I have to stop and be like, I need to take a moment. Hey, this is a very heavy subject for me. I can feel myself getting upset. I'm going to remove myself and I'd love to continue this on a different topic or whatever the heck it may
be. Yeah.
Like taking a moment really changes things.
I've been genuinely surprised with how receptive my family is with that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think they don't want to have a big, you know, blowout over politics or social issues, but they're especially some older relatives just can't help themselves and say something. And then I am not going to just sit back and let that be said.
Yeah,
as the token liberal of my family, I have to be the one to speak up because if I don't, no one will.
Yeah.
Right.
And
agreed.
Especially now having a child who she doesn't understand yet, but it's important to me as she grows up that the same values I'm teaching her in our home, she sees me uphold those.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like, how do I uphold that? Not allow things to be said that are like bigoted or just really, really wrong.
Yeah.
And not allow it to be said and me be silent, but also not like ruin Thanksgiving again.
Right.
I feel that. I feel like I also, as like the token liberal of my family, have not I haven't gotten to the place where I feel like I can have conversations. So I will just remove myself. I hear it. I'm like, goodbye. Like, that's it. And I mean, everyone knows, like, they're like, oh, Ryan's upset.
But that's powerful.
But I'm like, I don't have to sit here. And like, I do think that a part of me feels guilty for not saying something and being like, hey, that's not what, like, why do you have to, and like, have a conversation. But then the other part of me is like, for my sanity and my, like, I just can't do that. And it's, and I do feel like sometimes it's everyone against me and I'm like, I am literally just one person and I'm trying to make a point and everyone's just like telling me and I'm like, I would rather just not even hear it. And you guys can assume that I'm mad because everyone's all right, mad. That's fine. Maybe you guys will stop talking about it and I can come back and we can have a moment of peace.
Talking on the same topic of Thanksgiving, I remember last Thanksgiving, I'm the one that like does the prayer. Every single Thanksgiving, I'm the one that leads it. And it just, I don't even know how it fell on me. I guess it was one year it happened and my mom was like, that was so beautiful. And I saw the way she felt about me doing the prayer before the meal. But before the prayer last year, while we were sitting down, I didn't want to do it during prayer or anything like that. But before, I was like, I just want to take this moment to remember that we celebrate Thanksgiving as a day of giving thanks, but we need to remember that that's not for everyone and that's not the full history of things go. And my mom's all of a sudden like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, she asked.
Right.
So I start giving details about, you know, the reality of Thanksgiving for Native Americans and the colonization and the genocide. And so I was like, we need to acknowledge that that actually happened. Yeah. And But I'm not here to say, oh, we're not celebrating Thanksgiving anymore. I'm like, we are making this about our family, about giving grace and being so thankful for what we have. But let's also not forget what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And how did that go?
I was going to say, how was that received?
Honestly, I I respect my family so much for hearing me. Like, they really, I could tell that they were like looking at me with the eyes, you know, my dad starts looking at me like, oh, like, here she goes again. Like I'm about to go and do this whole speech thing and I'm going to start crying and I'm going to be, no. I was like, I just want to say that. And I remember saying, I just want to note that is all.
Right.
Where should I put the mashed potatoes?
Right.
And I do think that is so important, right? It's a hard thing where for us and the memories that we have with Thanksgiving are mostly about family and food and quality time. And that's wonderful and great. But that is not the whole story of Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've kind of, at least through our lifetime, seen the conversation shift where when we were younger, it was the very whitewashed, like I remember in kindergarten, dressing up as quote-unquote pilgrims and Indians.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And making the hats and doing all that, right? So that was front and center of the show.
Oh, yeah.
As the conversation has shifted and we've become more educated, more socially conscious, it became, well, let's just shove that in the back.
Right.
Forget that. And it's just about family.
Right.
So let's ignore the problematic stuff.
Right.
Right.
But I think the problem is we can't just pretend that didn't happen.
Right.
We can't just pretend.
We have the privilege of pretending like it didn't happen, but Indigenous people don't.
Yes.
Right.
So we should, just like everything else, right, uplift that and like acknowledge that. And it's not that we're taking away Thanksgiving or whatever. Like, that's not even the point.
Yeah.
The point is, just because we enjoy something in one way does not mean that we can't acknowledge the reality of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be more than one thing.
Yeah.
It's not just one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. And I remember just saying, hey, I'm not looking to stir stuff. I gave a little preface. I just want to know you to know that, obviously, Native Americans take this day as a day of mourning. That's why they made the holiday the following day after Thanksgiving is, let me... to not misquote, I want to read what's exactly in my phone. The next day is Native American Heritage Day. So, you know, the right day right after.
Right.
So I was like, I just want you to know, because I don't see everyone saying happy Native American Heritage Day.
Right.
Right.
So I just want to start the conversation. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not trying to fight. Obviously, this is not what we're here to do.
Right.
We're here to eat and love each other and be thankful for what we have here.
So do you think that that hostile response to bringing that up, which I have felt as well when I've brought that up, is an uncomfortability with having to acknowledge that, that it's easier to just say, oh, we don't bring that up here. Don't bring that up now. Mm-hmm. Really? At Thanksgiving, right?
Right. Yes.
And it's because it makes people feel uncomfortable with celebrating, eating, enjoying, instead of just saying, look, we need to acknowledge the truth and the history of, you know, what we were, the way we were raised and taught about Thanksgiving is a complete lie. And I think it's important that if we're feeling uncomfortable with that, with even just the mention around Thanksgiving of Native people and the genocide and the colonization and the lie that we were taught of what this happy-go-lucky first Thanksgiving was, it's important to ask ourselves or even our relatives why.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the mere mention of that make you feel uncomfortable?
Right.
I'm sure once upon a time it would have made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe we need to sit in that discomfort for a little while.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's not supposed to make you comfortable because it's wrong and you know that. And that's why you are uncomfortable.
That's why you feel.
If it was fine and everything was fine, you wouldn't feel the way you feel.
Yeah.
And because you would be able to be like, you're right. We should take the time to acknowledge that, da-da-da. But because it's not, and I feel like holidays, in Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all of the holidays during this time are supposed to be like, oh, this is a happy time, we're with our family. So anything opposite of that is like, why are you like trying to ruin everything?
Right.
Especially like if you are like the liberal one in your family, then that just kind of
disrupting the peace.
And it goes with the narrative that, you know, Republicans or even just like people who aren't so liberal are like, you guys always are just trying to like point fingers at somebody and point and do the thing. And it's like, no, I just think that like we all know and we're just not gonna pretend like it doesn't happen anymore. Like, we've done this up until recently. Like, everyone's just kind of like ignored like the reality, and I think we as a generation are just like done with that.
Yeah.
And we're like, actually, no, this is the tea. These are the facts. And like, it's not like we can go back and fix it, but we can acknowledge and do better. And that's the point.
And that's where I feel like it is. It's like doing a disservice to my own morals. And I, as a teenager, felt so conflicted about this because for a long time I was just quiet.
Yeah.
And then when I did get educated, I was like, I cannot be
sit on this. Yeah.
And then it was like I felt so bad when I didn't speak up.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I feel the same. Like, if I don't, then they think that I either agree or I don't like care enough about this thing that I decided to not talk about when I've talked about other things. And it's like, I feel like, especially if you guys feel the same way, like, definitely choose your battles. Like, if it's not,
yes.
Like, sometimes it's better to just mind your business and leave it alone and maybe bring it up a different time. Like, there's also, you know, everyone's situation is different, but I feel like in those moments where I don't say something, I definitely do feel like, damn, like I should have just said something. Like that could have been a quick correction.
It's just such a difficult time around the holidays and feeling
people
anxious
are already feeling the way they're feeling.
There's so much anxiety and stress and social cues and things, and you just don't see. Sometimes you see like extensive relatives that you don't see all the time, and you're like, I don't really know if I should even talk. Bring up certain
like
things.
What is your vibe? Overall,
and I think sometimes too, it's like you said, of just quickly dropping like a little.
Hey, maybe not that.
And I think that's something that has been hugely valuable to me, realizing I don't have to be like make everything really like serious and long and drawn out. Mm-hmm. That I can just be like, That's not a word we use.
Right.
And then they're like, and a lot of the time, especially older people, don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we sometimes have to be the person to be like,
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey.
Honestly, whoa. Me setting the table before Grace, I'm like, I have to say something. Like, I need to, like, it was so small. I was like, I just want to note. I started off, I just want to know and take a moment to say. And that's why I think that they didn't think that there was a huge speech or soapbox situation coming, because I prefaced it with, hey, I'm not trying to start shit. I just want to quickly say something.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thank you so much. Please sit down for Grace.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something in your 20s now where you're like, I'm communicating these as boundaries of my values and myself, and that's why it's received well and you're able to firmly stand in it and or know that you need to protect your peace?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I also feel like, if you're able to acknowledge and maybe that's make a correction or even just bring up a topic, like if you're able to do that without your emotion overtaking you, that's my problem. Because as soon as I start getting heated something, my parents and not even just my parents, but like everyone's just like, okay, shuts we can't down. Even because you're out here losing your mind and you can't even say a sentence without crying or being upset, you're yelling or whatever. And I feel like if you can approach it like, hey, I'm just bringing this up, or hey, maybe we just don't say that. Maybe if it like level headed, they'll be like, they're more likely to hear it.
And I think a lot of the times too, then their defensiveness doesn't go up, that they're not feeling like they're attacked. Being ridiculed, attacked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also like if you're reactive, you deserve space to process that feeling without being watched and judged.
Oh my God.
To like approach it being like, okay, I know how I feel now and I can speak to this.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve that safe space too in your feelings.
Feeling of the eyes on you.
And even walking away after a moment and knowing that everyone's like, she's so dramatic. Like,
they're like, I saw her Facebook. I know. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God.
I feel that way a lot about body image stuff too around the holidays of like feeling the eyes on you. Like, there was one year where like just my body changed a lot. I had gained weight. I knew I looked different.
Yeah.
And I felt so much anxiety about going in to that Thanksgiving and feeling like people were looking at me, looking at my body, looking at what I was wearing, looking at the food I put on my plate.
Yeah.
And on the same end, another year where my body changed a lot in the other way and I lost weight, I remember feeling the same kind of stress because I knew people were going to point it out.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it pointed out.
I just want to speak to really quickly on the, not even like the culture, but the, I don't even know what to call it, but the act of always commenting on your body, whether it be for good or for bad or for whatever it be, when those social situations come at family. I stress out walking through the door and being like, oh my God, this, oh my God, that. I'm like, I simply just don't want anybody commenting on anybody's body. Like, for what you quote unquote think good, bad, or this, that. I just said, there's no need for that to be in the first conversation of us saying hello.
Right.
I just want to say, hi, it's so good to see you.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Can we get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also feel like the kind of the culture of like the American culture of Thanksgiving in regards to food too is also so like weird, because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you know, we make this kind of food and everyone eats and yes, help yourself, seconds, thirds, fourths, whatever. But then let it be a plus size person and everyone's like, third plate? What?
Yeah.
What?
Another,
weird.
Paloma's
weird.
Getting up again.
But like, let you be like, if they think that you're like so skinny or whatever, they're like, eat, you need to eat.
Indulge.
Eat more, eat more.
Yes.
Like, this is Thanksgiving. Like, or even like, oh, you know, well, I'm in my like holiday weight, you know, we just did, I'll get it back after the new year. I'm like, girl.
Yeah. I that when you saying that about the being on the thinner side, oh, go, you need more another plate. That brought me back to when I was struggling with like disordered eating.
Yeah.
And the amount of stress I felt around the holidays of feeling like I needed to like eat performatively because I was calorie restricting and I was like so anxious about what I was eating all the time that I was afraid that people were gonna like comment on that.
Like how you weren't eating
enough. How I wasn't eating enough. Mm. And then that would make me feel like attacked. And so I remember like feeling like, okay, I have to put this on my plate, but I'll just move it around.
Yeah.
I'll move it. I won't actually eat it. I'll move it around. Cause if I don't put it on my plate, they're gonna say something.
Right.
But I don't wanna put, I don't wanna eat it.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, so that's on both sides. Like there's just it's no so winning.
And, yeah. And I've heard those same things. Oh, Mijo, you're just so skinny. You need to eat more. You need to, and I'm like, so then why to his brother? You're like, hey. I'm like, this is like, in the same breath,
right?
You're contradicting everything. Like
when also you can just let people eat as much or as little as they want, and right. It doesn't affect you at all. Just let the people eat or not. Like we don't have to monitor that, and you don't on any other day. So why today do you feel like? Because you wouldn't go to their house and be like, "Why aren't you eating? Eat more."
Yeah, it's like the
eating.
Is it the holiday? Is it just because there's so many relatives in one room like
people,
at one?
Yo, people act weird. What is it about that? No one's saying this on 4th of July. Like, what's on your plate?
Right.
It's like a birthday party. You don't see that.
You're not bringing it up. Yeah.
What is it about November and December that just make all the relatives know?
Well, I feel like there's also like an abundance of food.
Yeah.
Like more than any other like.
Yeah.
Average meal. It's like so much food. So the like everyone's assuming that we're all gonna eat. So I eat the same amount I eat on any other day on Thanksgiving or any other holiday because it's not like my body just all of a sudden wants more food and can take more food than it has been doing this whole time.
Well, and I think that's a sign of a healthy relationship with food. I think when you are restricting your body heavily for most of the year and you have an opportunity where you feel like you have a license to indulge.
Right.
Oh my, that's another thing of like feeling like, oh my gosh, this is my one chance where it quote unquote doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one chance.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's no matter if you eat all the food in one sitting or if you ate it spread out over a week, it's the same amount of calories. It's the same food in your body. But I think that's back to diet culture of making us feel like if you ate one slice of pizza every day for a week, that would be so horrible. But if you eat, quote unquote, perfectly and then sit down and, you know, have a cheat day and eat a whole pizza, that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a creator I love. Her name's Abby Sharp. She's a dietitian, and she's talked a lot about that, of this cheat day culture. And instead of, like, what if you eat an entire box of donuts on your cheat day? What if you just allowed yourself to have half a donut when you wanted it? And then you wouldn't feel the need to do that.
To
so
do
I think
that.
That's fantastic that you're in a place where you feel like you just, I'm going to eat the same. Yeah. It's probably better food.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, because at home we don't cook, so when we come home for the holidays, we're like,
actual homemade meal,
actual homemade meal. Yeah,
and I'm going in for seconds and thirds on my dad's mashed potatoes because he only makes them once a year.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, just my mouth is watering just at the.
Does
thought.
He save that it. For ever? Just only strictly on Thanksgiving?
Yes,
I
except last year or no, 2020, I did not see my family on Thanksgiving because of COVID, and I was really upset. I was pregnant. I was just so hormonal, and then on top of that, just not being able to see my family was really hard.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, "I'm gonna make them on Christmas this year, so you can have the potatoes." I was like, "Thanks, Dad."
Aww, what
love
a good
that.
Dad.
No, that's so sweet. I respect the making the one meal or whatever dish once a year.
I know where you're going with this. I object.
I do this. I make a ooey gooey pumpkin butter cake every year.
Girl.
And it's my favorite thing. And it's incredible. Please.
I haven't had this. I need it.
I'll make it.
She only makes it once a year. And I'm like, please do it again. She's like, nope, I make one batch and that's
and
it.
That's
but
it.
And I'm like, is that why it's so dark? I mean, obviously it is insanely good. But the taste of knowing that there's only one it, it's so flavorful. And I've never had anything like it.
And you don't like sweets. And I think that's the reason why I know it's good. Because she doesn't even like sweets. And it's so it's
yeah,
so sweet.
I'm not a sweet person. Like cinnamon rolls, cookies, love. But other than that, like cake, no.
What are your guys' favorite Thanksgiving foods?
Mashed potatoes.
Mac and cheese.
Ooh.
My mom specifically.
Oh, or, well, honestly, I haven't tasted those.
I was going to say, I need some of Crystal's mac and cheese.
Yes. It's just, it's so, I don't even, I don't have anything to say. It's just incredible. But that is my favorite. And then my pumpkin cake.
Yeah. My mom makes this amazing corn. She'll grill it. And then she'll put it with mayonnaise, a little bit, a dash of tequila, a dash of limon, and then onions and cilantro. It's so good, but of course a dash of tequila.
No, but it just, right.
But it's so, this corn, and anybody that comes over anything is like, Rosa, right. Tell your mom. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Right.
My mom's very in with the group.
She is.
She's an icon. I can't lie, Rosa. Is. She's cooler than me.
So it sounds like we need to have a Friendsgiving with Crystal's mac and cheese, Wes's mashed potatoes.
Right. Yes. And Rosa's corn. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, Sierra, I am actually known for being the Friendsgiving girly host.
Yeah.
Because growing up during college, I used to babysit for this family, and they were very like, oh, have people over. We don't care. Like, it's the holidays, literally. So I would host a Friendsgiving at Waffles House. Sweet Waffles House.
We gotta tell them about Waffles.
Okay, so, well, I'm like, where to begin? But, so, the Waffle House is actually the name of a dog of the family that I used to babysit for. And Waffles, it was a sweet little Maltese, and he loved to party, and he was the hostess with the mostest, which is why he hosted Friendsgiving every year. He didn't know, but he was the hostess. But we're all awing, because unfortunately, Waffles just recently passed away. He had two cancers, and he's just an old, he was an old buddy, and he honestly lived so much, and
he saw so much.
He saw too much. If anything, he saw too much.
He was there the day that we came up with the 20 whatever like logo.
Oh my god, you're so right.
You are so right. The day we came up with the logo, Waffles was there. Of course, hosting us for a meeting.
Wow,
that's what we're saying.
An icon.
So, anyways,
rest Waffles.
Friends,
peace, Waffles.
That name though, it's like so cute. And the dog before Waffles was Popcorn. I'm like, you guys are really just with these names,
right?
But anyways, I digress. Friendsgiving. I'm thinking we do a little bit of that.
We should.
That would be really sweet.
That'd be
we could.
Fun. No.
We really I could think we do
should.
It.
No, we should. Yeah, for the next episode, she will be in town. I would love to do a little Friendsgiving thing.
We really should.
Okay.
One year, for Thanksgiving, I was in New York, and it was when I was living there. And I wasn't going home for Thanksgiving. So I was like, what am I going to do? And my ex at the time, we were like, what are we going to do? Like, and it was just us at the apartment. And I was like, I'm going to make Thanksgiving dinner. Like, I'm going to do the whole thing. I don't cook. I don't know what came over me. But also, it was the coldest day of the year that year. But we had just planned to do that the day of Thanksgiving. So I had to get up so early. It was butt crack of dawn. It was freezing. And I'm like, trudging through. It was snowing. I'm trudging through to the grocery store to buy all this stuff. Day of. What a delusion.
So I was going to say, are they like sold out?
Yes. Because
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So you're not doing a turkey because it takes so much
to
defrost,
and
right?
Also turkey's ass. That's controversial, but turkey is not good.
It's pretty dry. Not going to lie.
I don't eat it. I eat ham. I can eat ham.
I'm a honey ham girl.
Yeah. Me too.
Because like, yeah. But,
no, yeah.
Sorry. But,
no. So for the meat, I went to KFC and just got a bucket of chicken. And I was like, that's good enough. But I made everything while we watched the Macy's Day Parade on the TV. But it was iconic because we're in New York. But we were living in Brooklyn at the time. So it was cool to watch, though. But it was freezing. It was absolutely freezing. But I made the whole meal. It took me all day. My ex, he was like, can I help? I was like, don't even talk to me. I was like, I appreciate it, but like, just sit there and watch the TV, because like, I already don't know why I'm doing this, and I just need to focus.
It's giving, mom. Just get out of the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen. No, it was very that. It was that. Yeah.
Also, Macy Day Parade. I love when like Broadway
iconic.
Brings out their
yes.
stuff. Was it last year or the year before that Mean Girls? And
Last year. Yeah.
I made my poor whole family watch that. I said, change the game. My dad's like, we're watching football. I said, the Mean Girls cast of Broadway's performing
right.
Dave.
Right. Right.
So I changed it.
No, as you should. I like the Macy's Day Parade. It's always fun. I like the floats and the performances and all the stuff. Like, obviously, all the theater stuff. And the celebrities that, like, kind of lip sync badly.
You're like, why is Pitbull hosting this year?
Yeah. I love it, though.
It's so fun.
And
sometimes.
I like that it's just on in the background. Like, I'm not really, like, sitting and
no
looking.
One, yeah,
but
no.
Maybe you catch a glimpse of it. You're like, so-and-so from like NCIS.
You got to see Snoopy. You're like, the Snoopy one.
Yeah.
I was going to say, does Grace maybe this year put it on for her and she can see like the floats? Because I was going to ask, last year did she know? So I was like, ah, she was too little.
Yeah. Last Thanksgiving, she was 5 months old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah,
she was just like a little peanut, but she was like sitting up and smiling. And so I remember, so my family every year, we have our timeshare at Thanksgiving. Mm. And so it's like this tiny little one hotel room that like we cram everyone into. Don't tell the hotel staff that.
Right.
That's like our tradition.
Yeah.
And so we're at the timeshare and yeah, I just have this memory of last year of everyone like sitting around and just looking at Grace and like every little thing she did, they're like, Oh my gosh. And this year she's just, you know, such.
She's about to run that place.
Oh yeah.
She's about to ham it up.
Yeah, she's about to ham it up.
We're gonna be running around the timeshare. I'm sure she's gonna be like having so much fun with my cousins because she's the only baby. Everyone is, you know, older, but they all are in the stage where they're like excited to have a baby in the family again. Yeah. So everyone is like wanting to like play with her, and
that's so cute.
It's really sweet.
And seeing your siblings with Grace must be like send your heart to the moon.
It really is, especially. I mean, both my brothers really, but my little brother was the baby of he was the last baby my family had.
Oh wow!
And he's 20.
Wow.
So that's he was the last one. He's the youngest. And then now Grace. So that's like a huge gap.
Yeah.
So then to watch the baby of the family be an uncle is just wild. And my older brother is just so involved with Grace and so sweet with her. And she just adores him. It was just a couple weeks ago. We were over at his house and he was gardening and he was like showing her all the things. And she's like walking around in her little boots, picking up lemons from his trees.
What
and,
a cutie.
Yeah. I do think having Grace has made the holidays less stressful for me because there's something for me, this sounds so bad. There's something for me to do other than fight about politics with my family.
Right.
Right.
So it's like I'm a little too busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, everyone, we're not really talking about that stuff anymore because everyone's like, focused on Grace.
Yeah, the attention has
swapped. Like,
oh my gosh, she's walking, she's talking, and you try to get her to say some words.
Yeah.
and my family's been very respectful of the boundaries I've set with her. Like for one thing, I've said like we don't comment on her body.
Yeah.
Like right now she's only one, so like maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal to you, but I just want to set the precedent from early on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not talking about her body.
Yeah.
And they've all been very respectful of that. And so I hope that continues. And I do think I've bonded with my family through motherhood.
I love that.
That's so nice.
That's
and there
good.
Are so many other things that they could comment on and encourage her on when she walks through the door. Like, hey, Grace, you are looking so happy today. Or it's so great to see you.
Yeah.
Like,
there
just
are
leave
just
it at
like
that.
Literally a million things you could bring up
that
have nothing to do with anyone's appearance.
Yeah.
Or I was going to say, do we talk about the side banter of, so what are you doing? So who are you
what's
dating?
Next?
So are you getting married yet? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I feel like there's a validity to that. Like I understand, especially if you're a distant relative and we haven't talked or you don't see me or you're not on social media or whatever. I do understand you asking me those things just to like see what I'm up to in life, and I respect that, like I get it, but I think there are ways to ask those questions without directly asking that, because especially like if you're like a college kid, you know, and you're coming home and like this is the first time you've been home, you know, and you're just trying to eat something that's not ramen, you know what I mean, and like visit with your family, and you could be really stressed about school and like not know what you want to do or be going through a breakup or something like that, and just for people to be like, so what's the next move, you're like, I literally have no idea.
Maybe the word so is the one that's so triggering. So like it's the way they go, so are you blah 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 blah, so this, I said maybe structure it in a way of,
so, and maybe it might be the so and the inflection, it kind of feels like you already either have an answer that you want me to say, or you are, it's like an assumption. You're like, so what you got going on, knowing that I don't actually have anything just for me to say it.
So do you have a boyfriend yet? You're like, question actually sent me through the roof every Valentine's Day. That's actually a question I would get. I simply a call.
I don't understand that, because if I did, If I did and other people knew, you probably would know.
Right.
But if I did, if I didn't and no one knew, do you think this is the moment I'm going to tell you?
Open up.
I actually do. No one knows. I haven't told anybody. But yeah.
And thank you for asking. And I'm like, and bless my sweet grandmother's heart for calling and being like, hey, happy Valentine's Day. Like, love you. Sending love.
Nah.
But like, do you have a boyfriend yet?
No.
Or so what are you doing? I'm like,
I simply wouldn't answer her phone call anymore.
We could have just stopped at like, hey, girl, sending you love on Valentine's Day. I love you so much. Thinking of you.
Well, that also puts so much, specifically like, do you have a boyfriend or are you in a relationship or any of that? That puts so much value. Like, why are you asking about that when that really doesn't have anything to do with me as a person? But you asking every year or you asking multiple times, and if I don't have a relationship, how do you think
that makes me feel?
Mm-hmm. Like, that's just clearly something important. You keep asking me about it and I keep disappointing you because no, I'm not in a relationship, or no, I don't have this, or whatever, or no, I don't know what I'm doing in life. I'm still in college. I don't know my degree or whatever, all that shit. Like, you put so much value in that. And when I can't give you an answer, I'm like, tight. So
yeah. Dare I add, I'd be like, no, grandma, not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Like, hopefully, but also maybe not.
You
want to
help with that?
Yeah. Yeah, right. You got someone?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, little Craig down the street. You're like,
from
grandma.
Church.
Yeah. No, right. And you're like, grandma, he's 50. So no.
Exactly.
I don't think I really realized until we were just talking about it that I don't really get those questions anymore because now I'm married and I have Grace. And so the questions that are being asked are, how's Grace? What have you been doing? Or I saw those pictures from the pumpkin patch or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm so freaking sorry that's still a thing that's happening and that you guys are still having to field all those questions.
Well, I got out of the boyfriend question, but now it's, so when are you guys getting married? I said, first of all, why are you asking the girl that question? Like, I said, I don't know. Number one, I don't know. And also, I think as soon as I know what's going on, I'll tell you, girl. Like, or boy. Like, it just really...
It's never ending
because then when you get married, what, one of the kids?
Right. But also when you could just ask, how are you doing? What have you been up to?
Yeah.
And then I will let you
What's
know.
What's new with you?
And if I'm getting married, I'm getting married. That's new. That's how I answer those questions. And you can, if you're looking for a specific answer, which is what it feels like when they ask those questions, you can ask it more broad and you'll probably get the answer. You know what I mean? If you're like, hey, like, how have you been? I haven't seen you in the past 5 years. What you been up to in the past 5 years? Well, let me tell you. What have you been doing? How are you feeling?
As you're saying this, I'm like, Sierra's going to witness Grace potentially go through that. Like, them being like, Grace, like, you've
Do you have
like,
a boyfriend?
Yeah, you know, but I accident, like, even by intention.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I know that there's like, it's happens. Not always like,
and it's not always malicious.
It's not always malicious.
No, no, no. It's exactly. just they especially people who don't maybe know you that well, and they're trying to talk, and they don't know what to ask you about.
Yeah,
something I've started asking people about is their hobbies, because that's something that's usually they're excited to talk about.
Right.
It's not really like a hot button topic, and it doesn't have any pressure on like the future.
Yeah.
So
right.
Ooh,
I like
pressure
that.
On the future. Yeah. That's what it is.
At my brother's wedding, I was catching up with a mutual friend, and I was like, "Yeah, like what have you been up to? Like, what are you doing? Like, you got any hobbies going on?" And he started telling me about the adult softball league he's in and how much fun. And he lit up.
Of course. Right.
And I'm like, I'm so glad I asked about that instead of like.
Your
so
job. How's work doing?
Are you seeing anyone? You know?
Yeah.
And like,
we had a much better conversation about softball.
Right.
No, because also, are you seeing anyone? Yes. Okay, conversation over. Are you seeing anyone? No. All right. So anyway, like, you asking about hobbies and stuff, like, allows the conversation
open-ended.
To continue. Yeah. But like, you're asking me a yes or no question. Are you seeing anyone? No.
Yeah.
All right. See you later. Like, it's a one and done. It's not a conversation.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's the difference between an interrogation and a conversation.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Just with the truth bomb.
Snap it out.
But facts.
Make it that, not an interrogation. And
that's how it feels.
And yes, and that question that Sierra just posed right now, I'm going to store that keep that in my back pocket. And I'm going to start asking people about their hobbies.
Yeah.
Because... I'm not like, so are you dating anyone? But I'm like, so what have you been up to? Like,
what you getting into?
Right. Yeah. Being on the other end of the conversation is awkward sometimes.
Sure.
You want to bring something up. What do you bring up? So that's a good question. What what are maybe some things that we can bring up this holiday season that aren't about their partners and their
and
jobs?
Their jobs.
Well, I always like to lean into be like, so are you watching anything good lately? And I'm always up for recommendations for TV shows, movies, books. I love asking. I'm like, are you watching anything? Do you read at all? Like, I'm trying to get into read.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for advice too. Maybe that's it.
Or,
I'm
just like, but also, even if you know you're going to be around a certain, like, maybe cousin or aunt or family member or whatever, like, you could be like, oh, I saw this thing I think you would love, and you guys could talk about that thing. Yeah.
Or I think social media does help a lot with that too, because if I'm going to see family,
I saw
that you went on this trip. Yep. How was that?
Yeah.
Something that, because if they posted about it, they're probably excited about it, and they probably have things they want to talk about.
Right.
So you can, that's an easy segue to bring up that isn't an interrogation.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I mean, also, I think the link is you're asking questions you actually want the answer to.
Yeah.
Because you can feel when they don't actually know what they're asking that they're not really invested in the answer. And you're like, why are we talking?
Yeah. It's kind of like the, hey, how you doing? I'm good. How are you?
And maybe what we can end up doing is changing the conversation and actually setting a boundary and saying, hey, you know what? I'm actually not crazy about talking about that. What are you? And you either pose a question
or redirect
the question. Like, I'm not really comfortable talking about that. Maybe another time, but how are you with yada, 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 yada?
Right, because a lot of the times they might not even know that that's something that you don't want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah. So saying, I don't really want to talk about my love life. How's this thing?
Yeah.
That's something I did with my body a couple years ago. I was so tired of feeling that someone's going to say something about my body, someone's going to make a comment, whether they think it's positive or negative. That one year, just, you know, someone said something and I just said casually, again, trying to remove that emotion, like we're talking about. I was just like, yeah, I don't want to talk about my body, you know? And they were like, oh, yeah, okay. And went right on to the next thing.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we forget, like, how powerful just, like, a simple boundary, a simple sentence. And obviously, every family is different. Like, I'm so fortunate that my family has been so receptive to those boundaries. But I do think, like, we owe it to ourselves to try.
Or just saying, I'm not looking to get into that topic right now. Boom.
Yep.
And, and you're not even emphasizing on what they said, what you said. I'm not interested in talking about that topic right now.
Because it's not like, why would you say that?
Why? And I don't want them to feel attacked.
Yeah, and you're not trying to get defensive. You're just like, hey, I'm not going to talk about this right now.
Right.
Just like people do literally all the time.
Right. But I think with our families.
Yeah. Come on.
It feels like. And I also used to feel like I was being rude.
Yeah. And it's weird because in the same breath, it's like, oh, we're family. Like, we can be chill and it's fine. But then on the other half of that, it's like, we need to respect everyone that's here. Respect our older elders. People and the family and our aunts and the grandparents and whatever. And we need to respect. You're like, for sure. But also, I deserve a level of respect.
Also, I need to respect
regardless,
myself.
Yeah, I also don't have to be 60 years old to be respected.
Well, I think that happens with children and the level of respect that they're given. Automatically, if a kid says something back, they're talking back, they're being disrespectful, you're not really hearing them. You're like, oh, just don't.
You're a kid, so just.
You don't know.
You don't know your place.
Yeah.
Should be seen and not heard.
Yeah, which is really, really harmful to children because... Yeah. Things happen to kids all the time and they're like, well, I'm a kid and I can't say anything, or this is an adult and I'm supposed to trust them, so it must be fine or whatever. Like,
you're telling them their voice literally doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and all kids grow into adults, so at what point does their voice matter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think always.
It always does, but I think that that's the part where they're like, you need to respect your elders, and it's like, bro, for sure. Like, maybe I don't need to be like, yeah, F you, like, sure.
Right.
But also me being like, hey, I don't like this, can we please stop, is not disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
That's literally just me being like, hey, this thing is making me uncomfortable or sad or whatever, and I don't want to talk about this.
As we're talking about this, I'm just thinking maybe that's kind of why I am a little bit more respected / not so, oh, Paloma, don't, when I speak, because I'm getting older and I'm seen as an adult. So my opinion / commentary is more valuable.
It matters now.
It holds more weight than if I were 17 and I'm like, did you know actually that Thanksgiving, this, they're like, shut up.
They
don't know anything.
They just think you're like stupid.
They hit you with the you don't know anything.
Maybe part of it is us getting older, like we talked about, and being able to articulate ourselves better and control our emotion. But maybe the other part of it is they're taking us more seriously now.
But how do we like change that though? Like, cool for us because we're older now, but like,
for the younger generation,
the kids.
I mean, that's a big thing for me as a parent, is I want Grace to know that her voice always matters.
Yeah.
And she can always set boundaries. Mm-hmm. And like, if something makes you uncomfortable, you speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's enough. You don't even have to know why something makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
I think a lot of the times we feel like we have to say, oh, this makes me uncomfortable because... But I think it's enough to just say, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't want to talk about it.
That comes with the hugging and the kisses and the this.
Yes.
I'm like, that is for sure not going to be a requirement with my kids. I said, do you want to?
Yep. We don't make her do hugs. We don't. And she loves to give hugs. So
yeah.
Sometimes she does. But I want to make sure that as Grace is growing up, that like she hopefully doesn't feel that same kind of dread about the holidays for all those reasons. And I can't control all of that, but I can be in her corner
and set her up to know that her boundaries are respected and necessary. Yeah.
And also,
she can speak up.
And she can't. Yeah. And giving her the power to know that she can.
And and that I will back her up on those boundaries. And that's something my mom always did. And I so appreciated that, that when I drew a boundary or when I said something is making me uncomfortable, my mom backed me up.
Yeah.
And like I want to be able to do that for Grace, and I also want to be able to model for her those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because the holidays should be about getting together with your family and just talking and catching up and in a positive way and being thankful and just celebrating each other. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Well, to wrap things up as we approach the end of this episode, I do have one question that might be a hot button topic but isn't serious. So I think it's a good balance.
Mm.
What time do you eat Thanksgiving dinner?
At like 1 or 2 p.m.
Yep.
It's like lunch. It's not dinner.
Yes, but we call it Thanksgiving
dinner. We call it Thanksgiving dinner. But also, we eat it all day into the evening, so it's dinner time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's why.
Yeah, we do 3 o'clock.
It's like early.
Yeah,
early. Because we're not eating... I honestly feel like breakfast gets skipped because my mom's already in the kitchen cooking. So to get it,
it's coffee or nothing.
Coffee, grab a granola bar, grab something, and don't like spoil your appetite until so we eat rather early.
And don't like be in the kitchen like getting things and doing things because like cooking is happening.
I'm picking at shit.
Right. Totally. What about you?
I'm testing those mashed potatoes. Yeah. No, we're the same. We're like 2 or 3 o'clock. But I know, like, some people think that's, like, absurd because they're like, it's dinner. You eat at, like, 5 or 6.
Oh, my God. Who's eating at dinner? Waiting all that time.
I know.
What are you doing? Because here's the other thing, too. Like, I just won't eat because I'm like, I want to eat. I want this food. I woke up with the taste for Thanksgiving food. Yep, I don't want to pretend eat a sandwich or something.
No.
Like, no. I'm waiting for the food, and I will wait. I won't eat until it gets there.
Right, and it smells so good. Even, like, in the morning. Like, and you don't
you
even
wake up to it, and you're like,
I don't
like,
even want eggs at that point anymore, babes.
No.
I want some mashed potatoes and mac and cheese.
We're the same way. Everyone let us know if your family celebrates Thanksgiving. When do you eat your meal? Also, like, what's the trajectory of your day at? So you have the meal. Everything is leading up to that, right?
Yes.
And then what?
Honestly, pass out because we're also but we'll take a nap and then we'll reconvene and then eat again and then drink.
Yeah. I feel like it depends on how big the celebration is. Like if it's just like my immediate family, like my mom, dad, and my siblings, it's like low key and we kind of just like do whatever. But if there's more people, like more family, we'll eat, we'll chill, we'll like sit in front of the TV, either watch something, maybe there's games on or whatever. Some cousins will dip, if you know what that means. You get it.
Gotta go take a walk.
You know, come back. Definitely eat more. And then it kind of separates like the adults, which I guess is me now, but it's
no, we're
not
still
me.
The kid. I have a kid and I'm still a kid. I'm still at the kid's table.
Yeah.
I'm still at the kid's table.
Like the kids and like the cousins will like kind of find their way and like do their thing. And then like all the aunties and the uncles will probably talk about some like family stuff that we don't even care about or need to know, you know, and kind of like go off and do their thing. And then it's just people snacking literally all night.
Yep. And then leftovers the next day.
Okay. Leftovers versus like day of Thanksgiving specifically foods.
I think the leftovers are better.
100% agree.
When they put the potatoes and the stuffing in the same container, and because, you know, you put it all in and then right. you try to scoop the potatoes, but you still get a little stuffing, a little bit of cranberry sauce, and then all, oh yep. my gosh. Yep.
Baby, in my house, we were making leftover sandwiches. Yes. So we'll yes. take the little dinner rolls.
Yep.
You add a little bit of that. I'll get crazy. I'll do no. the mashed potatoes. Listen, I'll put whatever fits
I'm
in
I'm doing there. Mac and cheese instead of a slice of cheese.
Oh a genius.
Come yes. on. And then, yeah, but so the ham or whatever, oh you don't have to do God. The ham.
And if I, like, I know. It's fine. I'll take double mac.
yeah. Mac and mash and like maybe yes. just some.
Maybe a green, some kind of green.
Green beans, green beans. With like a God. Garlic on it.
Yes.
My mom makes a green bean casserole. It's like a palm. It's a sauce that she puts on the turkey, but I just use the sauce as like a little. Oh, right. It's like raspberry. What is that? Wait, what? Cranberry sauce? But it's cranberry sauce, but she spices it up. Because I feel like yeah. plain cranberry sauce doesn't give as much as I would like.
Not for me.
Yeah. So she purees and does. A little spicy stuff.
Okay, love.
So send the link for the recipe.
No, right. Yeah, yeah.
We're the same way though with like the like just food coma after.
Yeah.
Steven said the other day, he said the Sierra's family is the quietest of the entire year for the hour after Thanksgiving dinner.
It's just you guys like
my brothers take a nap. They go, because we're in the timeshare every year. They go right. in like in the room and they like lay on the floor or lay in one of the beds and they take a nap. It's usually like my uncle laid on the couch, everyone, and then like my aunt and my mom like sitting and drinking wine at the table, but everyone else that. Is sleeping. Yeah. Everyone else.
I love that. I also like take Thanksgiving because I don't dress up on Christmas or anything. Like that's just like, I don't know, that's giving like pajama vibe. Yep. But for Thanksgiving, I dress up. Ooh. Even though like there's no
reason. Get
pretty
reason. to sit in my house.
Yeah, so I'll do my makeup, and I'm wearing, like, a turtleneck, like, a cozy sweater, and I'm like, it's Thanksgiving vibes.
Yeah.
For
I
no
actually
kind of
do, too, because I don't dress up at all on Christmas. My family is pajamas all
no,
day.
No, it's pajamas. Yeah. Like, we're not doing anything. We're not going anywhere. So, like, why?
I'm so jealous of you guys.
Do you not dress up for Thanksgiving?
No. So we dress up for, I want to do the pajama. I'm like over here in jealousy with pajamas.
Yeah.
But I don't get that because I celebrate Christmas on the 24th, which is the night before. And so we do the nighttime dinner and then we go to church. And then you wake up in the morning and it's Christmas. But our Christmas is on the 24th. Like Mexico, we be celebrating on the 24th. It's and so we actually get ready because we're gonna go out after, and there's the fiesta, all that stuff. So I wish I could. And so I always see you guys with the matching jammies and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, cute.
Guys could do that on the Christmas. 25th.
Day. I'm gonna be like,
okay. Be like, I know, like whatever, we already did the thing, but like it's still Christmas vibes. Like we're still here.
Yeah. Well, and that actually works kind of perfect because then you can open the pajamas as a present
and then
on
wear
Christmas
them the
Eve.
Next morning.
Sold.
You got to do it for your whole
family. No, I'm absolutely doing matching
outfits. I know. I think I'm
going to
get matching outfits this year. We've never had matching outfits, like all five of us. So I think that would be cute.
And
Pippi and me too. Get the
dog
something.
Oh my God,
something.
You have
yes.
to get the dog.
Yes, a little bandana.
Oh, yeah.
She'll
cute.
Hate it. I love it.
Aw, you guys.
I think my favorite thing, this is so random and off topic, and indulge me. I think it's so funny when people put clothes on dogs and the dog is so very much like, I hate this.
They're just frozen.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, it's my favorite thing.
When I first got Bruiser, because I was 17 when I first got Bruiser, or maybe I was 16. I was young. I was still living at home.
10 years? You had it for 10 years?
I know. Oh my God. Isn't that bananas?
Wow.
I spent so much of my work money on little outfits for her. I still have a lot of them, but I don't ever put her in them anymore.
Right.
But I had like, on Christmas, she had a Santa outfit. On Thanksgiving, she was a turkey. Like, I had I had little dresses. I had little shoes.
Knowing Bruiser, I just feel like she really did not like that.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes, I remember my grandma saying this once. She's like, Bruiser gets a little attitude when she's in a skirt. Like, I'd put her in a little dress, a little skirt, and she'd like, get a little like bounce in her
But
I think the costumes though, like the Santa costume, the turkey, hated it.
Yeah.
Anything around her head, hated it. But a little dress?
She was like, okay.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, it's giving legs.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? After this, I'm gonna go because I still have all of the outfits. I'm gonna put her in one.
Please okay, do, no, please.
Yeah. And then we're gonna put a picture on screen right here.
Yes.
So here you go.
Here's the picture. I love it. Oh, well.
Well,
If you celebrate Thanksgiving and if you feel so called to let your family know what's what, we'll leave some links below if you want to bring that up. And like I said, if you do celebrate Thanksgiving, we hope you have a very wonderful Thanksgiving with your families and friends.
safe and healthy and happy.
Yes.
And
yes.
Don't be afraid to keep those boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You deserve it.
You do.
We love you.
We love you so much. Thank you guys for watching. Subscribe and like and rate and all the things. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye, guys.